We're here at podtech.net at SAP's California headquarters with Jeff Nolan. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John.
You run Venture Chronicles, and you've been in the Valley for years. SAP's changing. We're going to do some podcasts with you. But, you know, from your perspective, right, you're in a new position at SAP, in a competitive position, not venture capital. But you've had a lot of experience. What do you see happening right now with social media and just in general? It's pretty interesting. You guys, obviously, with SAP going totally services oriented, but that in general, what's going on in your view?
Well, I think the big thing is that, and this is one of the compelling reasons why I decided to leave venture capital and go back to the operations side, is that there's a real, an overwhelming feeling that traditional knowledge management and collaboration, the way we've always done that within large companies, really just isn't working. Never has worked exceptionally well. And with some of these newer technologies, whether they be blogs or wikis or search soft, better search alone enables greater collaboration. We're actually on, you know, the precipice of being able to do some really interesting things that enable people to do their jobs better. It's not just about process automation anymore. It's about really solving problems, pulling people together, and doing things on an exception basis behind the firewall.
You're known, obviously, too, as well as a blogger. You're blogging hard with Venture Chronicles, your blog, jeffnolan.com/WP. I think that's the URL, right? /WP for WordPress.
Yeah.
We won't go into why that address is there. But and also, you're very familiar with Social Tech, Ross's company, the wikis. I mean, these are people just working. But now talk about the group nature of how this is exploding out. I mean, obviously, people are collaborating. You're seeing, obviously, the early stages of it with bloggers, right? They're linking the link, love going back. You know, aggregation trackers are out there. How is this changing relationships? Especially in an unstructured world on the internet.
It used to be where somebody would have a really successful outcome with a startup, and then they'd effectively, you know, disappear for a while until they came up with their next great idea, and you know, then you'd hear about them again. There'd be this big, you know, launch and a hype cycle around their new startup. What ends up happening now is, you know, somebody you know, has a successful outcome, and they leave, and but they keep blogging. So you kind of like have this constant awareness of what they're doing. And
it's a connection.
They launch their new startup in full public view. And next thing you know, now they've moved into, you know, startup blogging again. And, you know, it goes on and on. It happens every day. So I think what's happening is we've kind of gone from this, where communication and linking happens very much sporadically to constantly. You know, you have kind of an always on. Maybe Perkins is right. You know, it's an always on economy now. People are always aware of what's going on around them and how people are being connected to one another.
Well, Tony brought this up in my podcast with him. He talks about his daughter and everything. And like when I was growing up, I remember, you know, when I went to college, I'd come back home for Thanksgiving and I'd see all my friends again. Yeah. But that's the only time that I saw them. Then I'm gone again, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But now people are connected. I mean, I'm blogging with people I've never met.
Well, when you look at like Facebook, for example, within, you know, that context, you know, people you know, have a constant online personality, and it's dynamic. It's changing all the time. It's not a web page where, you know, you'll go and update it once every couple of months, or, you know, you'll add a few new pictures or whatever. I mean, it's daily, you know, or even sometimes more frequently.
I'd like to get your opinion on something. Obviously, you're close to all the action. I'll say it always on Hollywood, Tony's conference last week in Hollywood. The buzz is all about, obviously, MySpace. I mean, the success of MySpace. And then also YouTube and the success of YouTube, the videos. Obviously,
I love YouTube, by the way, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
The bandwidth must be killing them. But what is the implications of all this to other media companies?
Well, so here's I think specifically to YouTube, and I don't know the whole MySpace thing that well, even though I probably should, but I think it's probably a generational issue there. But on YouTube, what I really see is a platform for companies to create perception, product launch, do, you know, intense word-of-mouth marketing on a scale that we've never seen before. Like, for example, the Microsoft Origami announcement. I didn't hear about it from Microsoft. I didn't hear about it from anybody I knew. I saw the video on YouTube. I'm like, you know, this thing is really cool. You look at this like basically like an infomercial on YouTube, and it sucks you in. Now, what they need to do is figure out, first of all, they have to figure out how to monetize it because, you know, at the end of
the
day,
bandwidth bills are killing them.
Oh,
you got Video Egg out there, another company that August Capital that Dave Hornick just financed. They're out there too. I mean, these guys are, I mean, they got Akamai backends, they got huge hosting bills.
Yeah. And, you know, unless you want to get into the porn business, it's hard to build a subscriber base. I mean, Gooba did it, but they did it on the back of, you know, adult content.
Always the early adopter, if you look at some even the, you know, some of the things over the years. I mean, banner advertising, you know, it's all adult-driven.
Well, I think that what it ends up being is that end users, consumers, won't pay for it. So you got to find somebody else that's going to pay for it. And in the case of YouTube, it's going to have to be, I mean, obviously advertisers are a natural one, but how do you fit advertisers into user-generated content? I don't know. I mean, you could do, you know, affiliate advertising or whatever, but maybe it's through companies like Microsoft, for example, who are saying, you know, we'll pay YouTube to push this infomercial out on our new product, but we don't want it to look like we're doing it. And I think, you know, in a user, in a basically user-moderated, user-generated content community, you know, that could be fairly unique.
Yeah, I mean, consumer-generated media and multimedia specifically is interesting because it really hits to the core of digital-savvy people. You're certainly digital-savvy. You're way ahead of the curve. Other companies as well. I mean, we're working together with PodTech on, you know, podcasting, how it can be as a great educational marketing tool and influence. But for other companies out there, it's a disruptive force. I mean, but it's an opportunity. Yeah. Talk about your view and monetization and implications for other marketers out there. To leverage your experience, what are some of the things that some other marketers can do with video and podcasting, et cetera?
Well, I think the biggest thing is on the, so you have to break it into consumer and then enterprise business, which is what I do. And for right now, there's probably not much of an opportunity for us on a YouTube-like service. However, some of our development teams in Germany put up a very clever video of, you know, Oracle versus SAP, you know, it was like Darth Vader versus the Jedi Abop warrior. And it was very clever. And at the end, they actually had this response mechanism built in, you know, so it wasn't just, you know, the video drops you off and you're done. It went, you know, there was a URL.
It's a jib-jab of Oracle and SAP.
Yep, exactly. So
that works. It hits the target audience.
Well, you know, if you make people laugh, I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
But you hit a digital savvy person. You're connecting.
Well, see, that's the thing is I don't have this aversion to advertising. I have no dislike of advertising. I don't like stupid advertising, and I don't like, you know, laugh track advertising. I like things that are well done, creative. I like things that sell me in a way that I didn't expect. And
that are unoffensive,
right?
But yet clever.
And in the case of a, you know, user-generated content, that whole Richard Edelman Me Too revolution kicks in, where I want it to come from somebody I know, somebody that I think is just like me. I don't want it beamed out to, you know, 15 million people over primetime TV.
Yeah, and developed by people who think they know you
because
you match some profile in some spreadsheet.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're going to do a bunch of podcasts. I mean, obviously SAP really doing great, and new architecture, we'll talk about that. But, you know, we always see each other, and it's just great to do a podcast.
Thanks.
And thanks for the podcast.
Thank you.